Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we just love to talk about on Yield Bros. I'm Ronnie Karam, and that's Ben Mandelker over there. Hello, Ben.
Hi, what's up?
You guys can find Ben on the Game Brain podcast, or you can watch his Real Housewares of Kitchen Island cartoons on YouTube. Okay? This week, we are selling tickets for the 2021 Crappy Awards, the Golden Crappies. They're going to be on January 21st, live and streaming to you. We've got a lot of really great, funny, special guests. A lot of Bravo people going to be there. It's going to be an amazing time, okay? So get your ticket links over at watchwhatcrappens.com. That's also where you will find links to the ballot so you can vote. Make your voice heard, 2021, okay? The only kind of voting that matters.
Yeah, it's going to be super, super fun. You definitely do not want to miss it. I'm excited. It's a week away, so, you know, time is running out.
So get on it.
Get on it.
That is going to be so fun. And today we have the Real Housewives of Orange County season finale.
I know, the big season finale for Orange County. A lot of exciting stuff happened. And it starts with Shannon and Adeline setting a table and Sophie petting Archie because Sophie is going to be heading off to college. So Shannon has decided to make one last dinner. So she goes into the kitchen to check on the ribs. Because when you think of Shannon Bedore, you think, this is a woman who makes ribs, you know? So it's like, I know, Ronnie, you're in the land of ribs in Austin, Texas, but can they really compare to Shannon Bedore's ribs?
I mean, just look, as someone who's always been trying to lose weight since, you know, I came out, I've always been very annoyed by ribs just because it's like when you're thin, you can see ribs, you know, and I've like never seen my ribs. Like for all I know, I don't even have ribs, you know, so I've just always been very triggered by ribs. So that's what I'm feeling. And then I had to remind myself.
I've closed the old Bedore.
And it's a whole new world now. And now I'm going to be okay with the ribs. I'll be okay with them on TV.
Well, I'll tell you who else is good with them. Shannon herself. She opens up her oven and smoke comes out. And it's another one of those moments where Shannon shows just how wacky she is. She goes,
Wow. I burned my face and that's the rib smoke. Wow. I'm so happy. My favorite daughter's moving away.
Hope you enjoy these ribs, which are being served to you by Freddy Krueger.
Oh, wow.
You know what I am sick of? I'm sick of hearing about Waco, Texas. Okay? I'm sick of it. And you know why? Because I've been watching a lot of HGTV this weekend, or last weekend. And you know those people from Waco that Chip and Joanna are on like 20 shows now, and now they're going to have their own network called Chip and Joanna something or other. Shut up, Chip and Joanna. This is all they do. They go, whoa, what? What?
Yeah. And he acts like an asshole all the time. Just like, oh, I'm just a big man boy, you know? I'm just a big man boy. I'm like, no, you are a controlling person, and you're trying to hide it with your hijinks, and we can see right through them.
Yeah. So, back to ribs. So, Shannon's like, well, what John and I have is amazing. And when you can go through a rough time with someone and then heal from that, that's good. And you know what? That's what John Jansen and I have. I'm like, wow, you really are in love because now you're saying both of his names.
Yeah, exactly. And he sounds like he should be a local newsman, by the way. I'm John Jansen, and here's the 5 o'clock cocktail.
Want a refresher? So just glad they got that in because they might both be alcoholics. And she's like,
Oh, well, a drink. I can't believe you said something about alcohol, John. Okay, I'll have a vodka and a Pellegrino because I'm not an alcoholic. I need the Pellegrino.
Then they cut to him making it, and hers is in a huge, like, pint glass.
Yeah, they keep showing him drinking cocktails. Ever since, like, that rumor was brought to light an episode or two ago, they just always cut to him drinking cocktails. It's hilarious.
Well, I'd like to propose a toast to Sophie. I'm so proud of me for raising you. And you've overcome so many obstacles that your father gave you. Okay? You missed you didn't have a prom, which I was gorgeous at. You didn't have a dead ball, which I was so classy at. And you didn't have a graduation, which I rock and rolled at. So, God, I love me.
I mean, you didn't you didn't have a lot of things. You didn't have a father who was present because he cheated on me and by extension our entire family. You didn't have the grace that comes with a father who doesn't pose naked on Instagram. There's that too. And you didn't have Vicky Gunvalson ruining a chapter of your life. So
I so can't wait to watch from the sidelines.
So she tells us that Sophie,
let's be honest, is the most similar to me. She, you know, she's so beautiful and she's had so many hardships. She wears dresses with puffy sleeves. Oh God!
Yes, Sophie is the one who's the most like me. I mean, she has a positive attitude and is smiling all the time. I mean, if that's not Shannon Bedore, is it Shannon Bedore? Do I have a positive attitude? I'm starting to have some negative thoughts. Huh? David?
David? John's like, so Sophie, what are you most excited about for school? And she's like,
a fresh start. Oh, I'm sorry. Sophie, you go ahead.
And she's like, a fresh start.
She's like, that is a very thoughtful answer, Sophie. Wow. Gosh, couldn't have said it better myself, Sophie.
Could you say it any better? No. Is it something that I might say? Yes.
And the twins are like, Mom, you guys went to the same school. Did you even know each other? She's like,
no, maybe we went to the same bar. Uh-oh, that includes alcohol. I shouldn't have said. Let me take that back. Let's redo that. We went to the same debutante ball.
Yeah, we went to the same. I mean, I remember when I was a youngster and I went to the prom and, oh, Sophie, you don't have that. Well, you know, you have different experiences. Like, I had a prom and your experience was getting your mother almost killed by coronavirus. So that's that. You have that memory.
Thankfully, at least you have the experience of not doing laundry while your mother was dying and letting Archie poop all over the backyard.
You'll always remember that day. You'll always remember. You won't have a prom song. You'll just have the song you listen to instead of doing your chores.
Do that one more time, and the next celebration will be eating Sophie's ribs. All right. Okay.
Speaking of which, did my daily meat arrive? No.
So, and then we,
Wednesday.
So now we,
it's Wednesday.
We haven't even had our daily. Oh, we ate our daily meat. Well, this is actually Tuesday's daily meat.
So now we transition to a new scene. And I don't know if you noticed this, but like the editors on the show are clearly bored because they just went back to their second grade toolbox. We just see like a wide shot of like mountains or like Newport Beach or something. And then like four different boxes sort of like grow on the screen with people doing things. They like grow and become big boxes and then they become little boxes again. It was like that one effect in the Final Cut suite that never gets used. And like, let's use it today.
They used every single one of them today. It was so funny. They're like, oh, it's the season finale. Let's use every transition in the Final Cut toolbox.
Do we have the star wipe ready? Star wipe. Star wipe?
The one they use barn later doors. That's like, what do you call the one where everything's scrolling by you horizontally? It's called like a...
I think it's a push, I think.
No, it's like push, when there's a bunch of postcards on one of those turny things and you turn the thing around. What's that called?
Yeah, like a turntable?
Yeah, or something like that.
Or, yeah.
It's not ding, ding, ding.
Are you talking like a box slide where the screen turns into a box and the box rotates?
Yes, it was making me dizzy. It's like, people on bikes! Missed that. People hiking!
I was really hoping for a Venetian... I was hoping for a Venetian blinds transition. That's a classic.
Oh, yeah, I like those.
You know, that's a good one.
So we do it to go to Emily's house. And she's like, I'm going to have a beach party. You know what? We're going to spray paint bottles because I'm a party planner as well as a lawyer.
Yeah. They decide to resurrect this old storyline again. Oh, yeah. I also do parties. So we see her make, like with her kids, she has all this cardboard, all these crafts. She makes all these invitations. And then she has literally applied everything to these invitations. And when there's like one piece of glitter left to be put onto them, Gina shows up. She's like, hi. And Shane opens the door and she's like, you look good, Shane. He goes, I didn't look good before.
King of COVID recovery sarcasm.
What kind did you say it was? I missed it.
So King of COVID recovery sarcasm.
She's like, oh my god, what are we doing here with Jack American?
She's basically becoming the lady from All in the Family.
The mom.
Yeah.
Oh, the way the invitations were decorated.
Ah, the way the COVID was.
I got 6 children and 500 square feet of space.
So Emily's like, I had this vision of like this beautiful beach party with like low tables, pillows. We'll put messages in bottles. I'm a party planner. And she's
really hard
like,
getting that vision when you live in. It's really hard getting that vision when you live in Orange County by the beach, where people do that all the time.
So Gina offers to help, but everything's done. So they go outside to talk, and they start gossiping about Shannon. And Emily's like, "Well, you know, I heard from Kelly, and she's mad at you because I heard that Shannon's mad at you because you didn't check in on her enough."
Gina's like, "Oh my god, wait, what?" And before we go too far down this path, I just want to point out that as they walked outside, Emily called back to Shane and said, "When the water boils, you need to put the chicken in it." And I was like, "What boiled chicken are they making for dinner right now?"
This does not sound good. I'm glad you're a party planner and not a caterer, because yikes.
Yeah. I mean, I know people boil chicken to shred it, but like, I feel like nowadays, like, I think the new thing is to roast the chicken to shred it. Like, people realize there's more flavor in roasting. Anyway, I'm just concerned about that boiled chicken. That boiled chicken that Emily and Shane are making.
Yeah. But Shane would eat boiled chicken. Doesn't he sound like that type?
Like, gotta get home and make boiled chicken for Shane.
Yeah, no seasoning, just water and chicken, his favorite.
So Gina's like, "Yeah, well, I had this conversation with Shannon where she told me all these things about Sean and her relationship and how she doesn't feel good about it. Like, I don't understand what she wants. Like, call her every 15 minutes. You know what? I call her 10 times a day and it's like everything's perfect. And then you get to that one call where everything's terrible. And then the next day it's perfect again. It's driving me crazy."
Yeah. I'm starting to think that Shannon might be a high maintenance friend. I don't know. I don't know if you get that sense, Ronnie.
Yeah. Basically, Shannon is always calling and she's manic. Like, either everything's terrible and you're worried about her, or then she's fine and she's mad at you for even bringing up that she had any problems. And yeah, I mean, so Gina's like, "Yeah, she never calls me to ask how I'm doing."
Yeah. And she's like, you know what? Relationships with Shannon have a tendency to be one-sided, and even that one-sided, I'm doing bad at. I mean, why is she mad at me?
So Emily's like, "Yeah, she's told me that things aren't good with her guy as well." She's like, "Then why is she mad at me? It's clear she doesn't give a shit about me."
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, this is like the ongoing story. I mean, I hate to say that Tamara's right, because, and we see Tamara being like, "You never call me, bitch." But Shannon, it's like a recurring thing where people are saying that Shannon calls like every half hour, and every time she calls, she's like a little bit drunker.
Yeah.
Which is fun.
And has a little more drama going on, you know?
Yeah.
So now we have ping pong at Kelly and Rick's house.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm going to hit that ping pong ball. Yeah. Yeah. Right over that net. Yeah.
I don't like losing. All right, loser. You're going to lose, loser.
So this is the biggest twist. He basically is like, "I think that we should have a small ceremony that's meaningful, and then we'll just have a big party when it's right to travel." And Kelly's like, "I think that's the right thing to do." I'm like, how is this a 30-second like flavor moment for the rest of the scene? And it's an entire story arc for Cynthia Bailey, and she can't even come to this resolution as quickly as these two. How is it that Kelly and Rick are able to figure this out before the transition music has even faded out of the scene?
Yeah. And Kelly tells us, "I was married twice before, and now I know that I need someone who emotionally and physically loves me." What is it with Housewives? Like, this is the second Housewives show. We were talking about Salt Lake City earlier in the week. It's like, everyone's shocked that they should get married to somebody that they love.
I know.
Like, what the hell kind of alternate universe is this? It's like, wow, I learned something. I should really marry for love and not because someone's 6 foot tall or rich.
Yeah.
Congrats.
So, yeah, you learned something. So Kelly is talking about how Elizabeth invited Bronwyn to this party that they're going to be that Emily is putting together, but Bronwyn never responded. And so Kelly's like, sober Bronwyn's different. I mean, I don't recognize her. She's angry. She's volatile. You know, it's dirty and I don't want to play in the dirt. I don't like playing in the dirt. It's gross.
Which is hilarious coming from Kelly. and it's like, it's as hilarious as Kelly saying, stay off your phone. So Kelly's like, yeah, I haven't even talked to her. And Rick's like, so you guys aren't close anymore? She bugs me. And he's like, I really used to like her. Like, I would work out. We would talk. Like, she was a good time Sally.
Is that the second time she said that, good time Sally, this season? I'm like, I've never even heard of this phrase, good time Sally. Is that a thing? I'm going to look it up.
She's a good time Sally.
Good time Sally. No, but
we were saying it on Salt Lake City because good time girl.
Well, there is a song called Good Time Sally from 1972. So there you go. We learned something. and Rick, by the way, is the voice of reason. And he's like, well, maybe you should talk to her and find out, like, and tell her what's bothering you about, you know, her behavior. And she's like, oh, no.
She's like, I just don't think she's authentic. And he goes, you're authentic. Like, how are you making your authentic into like something sexual? Jeez, you two.
I know. So now Elizabeth is going to finally meet with a psychotherapist. So this woman comes over to Elizabeth's house. And Elizabeth is saying, like, well, my divorce was chaotic, like my childhood. And I laugh off everything because it hurts so much. Aw.
Yeah, and she's like, you know, I just tend to laugh things off. Look, I just did it. And the doctor's like, actually, that's a really good coping skill, laughing, you know, it's good. And it's like, yeah, but the world is so bad right now, how can you not? And so then they start talking about the trauma that she endured as a child and the sexual trauma. And, you know, I'm not going to obviously make fun of that. Super sad. And Elizabeth is like, you know, basically, if I am honest with people, they don't believe me anyway, you know? And then how am I supposed to just say, like, hi, I'm Elizabeth. I was molested. Like, I don't want to be that honest with people. And she's like, well, yeah, it's not safe to say that right when you meet somebody. And Elizabeth's like, yeah, but then they call you a liar because they don't know you. You know, it's like you're not opening up to them.
Yeah. And she says that when she was young, she was told that she was not, like, she could never write anything down or say anything about what was going on. Otherwise, she'd be in trouble. And so she lived in deep fear that she would lose her family, you know?
Yeah. And all this is really sad and stuff. But I don't think that you have to be like, hi, my name is Elizabeth and this is my childhood trauma. The people were getting on you because you were telling so many lies about other things, too, you know? So you don't have to do that either. So,
yeah, exactly.
Elizabeth's like, well, I'm a weirdo and I just don't know how not to be a weirdo. And she's like, well, what does the real you look like? And she's like, I don't know.
I just feel like deep down inside I might just be a little unbelievable, hypocritical,
unforgettable, unpedable. Oh my God, am I unpedable or did that just rhyme with the sentence? I don't even know who I am anymore.
The therapist is like, I don't know, but I'm dancing with my hat, so you're on to something.
I don't know, but a scrim just came down behind you, so I think you're...
Where did these backup dancers come from? Were they here during this entire session?
So then we go over to the beach party, which is being thrown at Elizabeth's house. And yeah, the brother Emily is...
shows up.
Yeah, the brother is going to be the bartender. And Elizabeth's getting her makeup done. Emily comes in to say hi and stuff. And Elizabeth shows her a text from Bronwyn. She's like, are the girls coming? I need to talk to Bronwyn because I wrote her this the other day. I said, the other day I was thinking of you. The other day I was thinking of your heart. The other day I said, it's sad that we're apart. And I said, you know, you have a photo shoot with 10 kids. I can't even get a man. And she didn't even say anything. And then the next day, she just texts back, ding dong, thank you. I mean, what kind of musical is this?
This is unbelievable, hypocritical, if I say so myself.
Yeah, so Bronwyn is basically acting like she's really caring on camera. But then when the cameras aren't there, she's like, why is this bitch texting me?
Yeah, pretty much. And it's like, it's very obnoxious. Okay. Like, that's the thing that will always be the be in, like, that will always get me onto someone's side. Like, wait, you texted someone and they didn't text back at an appropriate time and they were cold to you. And even though they were acting like they were going to be warm to you, that is bullshit. Okay. Yeah. It's bullshit.
And Emily gives her the benefit of the doubt. She's like, well, maybe she was just being sarcastic because, like, she interpreted as you, you know, just saying it all came together. I mean, you know, like, if somebody texted me that, I would say, well, I also, like, gave them all their showers and I did all this and I got it organized, which is not correct. I don't know. I don't know why she's being a mediator, but
yeah, that's a stretch. Like, Elizabeth wrote a nice text, you know. So now we go over to Kelly doing a chi machine. I'm going to get my chi right. And then Shannon is getting her midsection taped up by Priscilla, one of the great hanger-oners of the Bravo universe. She goes, she's like Luke. She goes from franchise to franchise doing makeup. Wait,
that's Priscilla from the East Coast?
Yeah.
Oh,
Priscilla does Kyle. Priscilla does Shannon. Priscilla does New Jersey people. She's everywhere. Anywhere there's a Bravo camera, Priscilla is there.
Priscilla's there, eh? Yeah. So she's getting taped up, and she's like, well, let's be clear. I have the COVID-16. I need more than my three spanks for this.
Yeah, so they basically Priscilla is, like, duct taping her, like, her intestines against her, like, backbone. And then we go over to Bronwyn. And so Bronwyn's very excited for the party. And she tells us again that she's going to live her life the way she wants to, you know, which, as we said last week, is kind of hilarious because she's doing everything that she was so mad about her mom doing for the past season and a half. So now she's doing it.
Yeah. So she's with Shari and she's getting her sexy look on for the party. She's like, I'm going to make changes in my life. And so she tries on her dress for Shari and gets naked, you know, like puts on her dress. And she's like, you know what? Being around Shari made me realize something is lacking with Sean. And she's like, this is hot, right, Shari? Is it hot? And Shari's like, oh, my God, yeah, it's hot. And look at your boobs. And then she's like, yeah, it's hot. And Sean walks in and he goes, wow, looking hot. And she's like,
she, like, fully ignores him. I felt so bad for Sean. She's just being so mean. And then she goes, when Sean walks into the room, it's clear that he's not welcome. I'm like, you know what? Okay, Bronwyn, I feel supportive of her journey. I think that I've been really appreciative that she's been, I feel, very open about the alcoholism and what's been going on. I'd be like, well, she's acting like a teenager. She's in, like, a teenager phase right now. But she is acting like a teenager, and she is in a teenager phase. And that's an annoying phase to be in. And now it's too much. It's too much. And I have been the one who's been like, no. Like, you've been the one who's like, Bronwyn. And I've been like, no, no, no. But now this was just like, it's just now just like, it's just, you know, some of us were in, we're in school musicals and school plays, and we recognize this behavior.
And you're, we do not asshole, stand for it. Okay, you're just being an asshole, and you just want this guy to keep paying for your life while you treat him like shit. And that's not cool. And you can say you're redefining your marriage all you want to. Fucking redefine it in your own apartment that you're paying for. You know, that's what I say. This is bullshit. And then she's like laying with her possible girlfriend on the bed, being a dick to him, you know? And then she tells Shari, I'm so over everyone but you.
No, you know what it is? It's like she is the person that you were friends with in eighth grade. And then in ninth grade over the summer, they hung out with, like, older kids, or they went to, like, they went down to the city. They met like really cool people, and they, like, or they know a cool new band, and you're like, oh, okay, here we are. This is where we're at in the journey. And they just are, like, really annoying about it. Not saying I was ever that person, because I, of course, was never that person, even though I was very proud that I saw many movies at the Angelica Film Center in 10th grade.
Without those losers I hung out with in 9th grade.
I saw this movie called Clerks, okay?
That's where independent cinema began.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So then we go back to the party, and they're doing that scroll thing, which is making me crazy with all the images. And then, let's see, basically, Emily goes up for a drink, and she's like, what do you have? And Andrew says, just vodka with mixers and then some champagne. And could I open some champagne for you? And she's like, well, I'm not paying you to bartend, so. Like, wow.
I missed that. Wow, Emily.
Wow. So then Gina comes.
Yeah, and Emily's like, I hear a Long Island accent. Who can that be?
She's like, hi, Travis's mom is going to look after the kids right now. Hi.
You did such a beautiful job.
And Emily goes, yeah, well, I had a vision. Okay. You're not Tevye. You know what I mean?
I don't see any gentlemen with wine bottles on their head doing a dance, so
you better calm it down, Emily, with your I had a vision.
Calm it down.
Is this the little beach party I dreamt of?
So then Kelly comes over, you know, Elizabeth comes, everybody's gathering. Bronwyn comes over in her gold glitter mask, and everyone's quiet. Like, Bronwyn gets there, and then everybody just kind of gets quiet, and they sit around. And Bronwyn's just looking around like, like she does not want to be there.
She's giving off that energy of, like, I'm just going through so much right now. She's doing that thing. And if you notice that the one thing that Bronwyn has been doing lately is that it's something I hate. An over-exaggerated, yeah. So if someone says, are you having a bad day? You'd be like, yeah, or yeah, or yeah. But she goes, yeah. And you're like,
yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm like, if your yeah is requiring that much oxygen to come out of your body, you should stop saying yeah. That
yeah,
way.
Just save it.
It's too much.
Just save it.
Save it. It.
So
save
Elizabeth tries to make conversation. She's like, oh, your hair looks great, Bronwyn. And you know, when I texted you the other day, I was being impressed with you. I wasn't being a smart aleck. I was saying you were unbelievable, untoppable. Unstoppable. I mean, I can't even get my boyfriend and my dog in the same picture. And Bronwyn just looks at her and she goes, I run a tight ship.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, yeah, I run a tight ship, you know? So then Bronwyn's like, I have my guard up because I thought we had a beautiful moment. And then now I'm realizing it wasn't real. So we're like, okay. I guess we'll have to wait to find out what that is about. So then here comes Shannon. Shannon walks in and Kelly's like, una amiga!
And Shannon is, Shannon brings gifts that she was going to give them, an arrowhead, and they're all face masks with funny sayings on them. And Elizabeth says, mine better say the richest bitch in Newport or I'm going to be, it says the richest bitch in Newport. I love it. I'm going to spray paint this with a penis and give it to some poor people. Thank you, Shannon.
Thank you so much. Emily's is very fun, Emily. And Gina's is not sad or depressing. Shannon's is una amiga. Kelly's is foot and mouth. And Bronwyn's is cheers to good choices.
Yeah, so it gets kind of quiet again. And Kelly's like, I love this cheese. So they all go do some photo booth stuff and do shots. Emily starts screaming, shots, shots, vamos.
New hip. cheers to not dying from COVID. And so they're still, by the way, like at Elizabeth's house. They're not actually on the beach. But they are now going to migrate over to the beach, and they are not allowed to bring alcohol on the beach. And Bronwyn's like, well, you guys now have to see how I live. Let's go. Come on. I'm like, oh, okay.
So they start going down to the beach, and Elizabeth and Kelly are talking. And Elizabeth's like, you know, someone told me this, and it's not my place. But I've heard that Sean left, and Bronwyn's been living with a woman. And Kelly's like, her lesbian lover? Ugh.
Yeah, and then they just walk up to like Bronwyn, and she's like, "There she is. We were just talking about you." and so then someone's like, "How long has this food been out?" And then someone else responds, "Oh, they didn't put it out here until we were coming out. Oh, some people are coming out. You know that phrase, Bronwyn? Coming out."
Yeah, Kelly's just her usual asshole self in this. She's like, "You don't like sushi, Bronwyn?" And Bronwyn goes, "I don't eat raw things." which is hilarious. Kelly goes, yeah, but do you like the smell? I'm sure you're used to it.
She's really, so like a Kelly is so obnoxious that it's hilarious. I mean, it's so like, it's just like not even pretending to be polite. She's just going full.
Kelly is just like, I'm going to start a fight with Bronwyn and that's it. I'm just going to be a complete asshole to Bronwyn and go for it for the season finale party. So Bronwyn's like, that's rude, Kelly. She goes, why are you so sensitive? Why?
Did it nerve? She's like, I don't think it's possible for her to go lower, but she goes lower. I just can't anymore. I'm like, it's Kelly Dodd. I mean, what? What do you expect? This is what she does.
Emily and Shannon and Gina are walking together, and Emily's like, you know, Shannon, Bronwyn tells me a lot of things about your relationship. Like, she tells me about things in Newport, about, you know, John being an alcoholic and being at some golf tournament where he was so drunk his dad had to come get him. Also, I had a vision, and it included a beach, so, like, we're halfway there.
Yeah. And so Shannon's like, What?
What? Are you fucking kidding me? Are you... Well, let me tell you something, audience. When you start to create lies about someone, you should do a little bit of research.
Which cracked me up because they all got mad at Bronwyn for actually doing research. And so she's like... Remember a few episodes ago? It's like, she literally was like, I'm going to do the research before I spread the rumors. And now they're like,
well, you should do a little bit of research. Not only does John not play golf, he doesn't even like to watch it. So you didn't even pick a good one because he does not play golf. I don't think he plays golf. Do you play golf? Do we even know each other? I mean, who is this man? Who is this man in my house?
Well, I can prove this wrong because John Jansen, News 5, doesn't even have a father. He was actually a little sea monkey. He was a piece of foam that was in a plastic pill. And when you put the plastic pill in water, it grew into John Jansen, News 5. Thank you.
Maybe she meant that John Jansen... Oh, I know what it was. It's not that John Jansen was playing golf and was so drunk he had to be removed. He was driving a Volkswagen Golf and was drunk. So, oh, that's a worse.
That's still worse bad. That's actually worse. I'll get back to you on that.
We'll have an update at 5 o'clock.
So Emily's like, well, in Arrowhead there were some conversations, you know, and then we see the conversation of Bronwyn saying, you know, I think he's drinking too much. And Gina's like, well, the bottom line with me is that like when I was talking about it, it was like coming from a place of concern. Oh, really? Well, if you were so concerned, you could have picked up the phone and called me, Gina.
I did call you. No, after 7 minutes, not 15.
And Gina's like, well, what am I supposed to say? You know, like, I don't want to overstep my boundaries or whatever. And Shannon's like, who says sometimes when you vent?
Shannon says it. She's like, well, you could say, are you okay? Are you okay?
You know, sometimes when you vent, it comes out a lot worse than it is. Like, sometimes if I say... John Jansen is an alcoholic who has a drinking problem, and I don't know what to do with him, and I'm so sad on the inside. I'm so sad. That's just venting. There's no problems.
It's just venting. Why is everyone taking everything so seriously all of a sudden?
And Emily's like, yeah, but it's worse than that. Like, it gets dark, you know? Like, you say it's awful, and he treats you terribly, and that your kids don't like him. I mean, that's bad, Shannon, you know? And then when we ask you about it later, you try and make it sound like it's perfect. And Shannon cries to us. She's like, yeah, well, I drank on a night that I didn't think I was going to see my boyfriend again, and I called someone I thought I could vent to.
When I said that the kids don't like John, I was of course referring to the little baby goats that we saw at the petting zoo who tried to nip at his fingers. The baby kids. Though the kids didn't like him. I'm not talking about my children. We have a perfect household. A perfect household that somehow let coronavirus into it. But it's perfect. It's perfect.
When you're around someone 24/7, it can be difficult. So did we have issues?
Yeah.
And I think everyone did. So let me just say, I think my marriage was so bad that I didn't think I could get into anything good again. And when the bickering started, I was just devastated that it wasn't a perfect fairy tale.
And Gina's well, listen. Go ahead.
Here I thought I'd be able to get meat every single day with my new man, John Jansen. And come to find out, one pandemic later, You can't get meat every single day. And it was devastating. It was devastating.
How would you feel if Cornish Hen Wednesday was turned into Rib Wednesday all of a sudden? That's where I was coming from.
Suddenly I'm here on camera pretending like I like ribs. And I hate ribs. You know what I call a good daily meat? You know what's a good daily meat? Pheasant.
So they tell her, oh my God, Shannon, all relationships are messy. That's okay. And she's like, well, sorry, I wear my heart on my sleeve. So then back with Kelly and Bronwyn and Elizabeth, Kelly's like, so how's Rowan? Oh, she's doing amazing. She's doing really great. Really? Because Gina made it seem like she was in bad shape. And then we see a clip of Bronwyn telling them that Rowan has been really bad in quarantine with her OCD going from a 4 to a 10. And Kelly's like, well, yeah, so why do you talk about how she's doing with some people and not with others? It's like you pick and choose. It's like wishy and washy. And like one minute is one way about you, and then the other day is another day about you.
And Kelly's getting herself wound up, so her voice is starting to get into that like special place that she has where everything speaks like this, speaks like this. You know, yeah, it's like in that place.
Basically our impersonation, but all the time.
It's like, yeah, exactly. And so the Bronwyn's
like how we talk like her all the time, but she really gets like that when she's mad.
Yeah, and so Bronwyn's like, well, why don't you actually talk to me? You never call me. I call you. You don't call me. You don't call me. Like, it's like sort of like, it's like gets nasally all of a sudden, but like high and nasally, and it's like so funny.
I call you. You don't call me.
You know what I mean?
And Bronwyn's like, well,
I don't call anyone.
Yeah. I'm just at home, she's like, okay? Like, you know what? I have one person I hang out with exclusively, and that's it.
Yeah, I hear that. Well, you know what? You don't even make any sense. You don't even make any sense! Oh.
Well, then why don't you ask me?
I'm asking you! You don't make any sense! You're one way with one way, and another way with another way, and you don't make any sense! And everyone thinks you don't make sense!
Yeah, everyone says that you don't make sense!
And then the other girls arrive at the table, and Kelly's just still yelling at her. She's like, you're full of shit!
You know what? I mean, God, you don't even make any sense! And Liz goes, oh, for the love of God, there's no alcohol!
So Bronwyn's like, ask me. I'm an open book. Ask me. And so Emily's like, well, Elizabeth told me that she really felt like she connected with you, and then she texted you a big, long text, and all you say is, thanks. So then Bronwyn goes, well, did you tell them that you called me a liar and I was using my children when I called to check up on you? And Elizabeth goes, no. It's like, oh, okay. So there is. So it's kind of funny because like we're just like, I was like, wow, what a bitch Bronwyn is. That she's such a bitch. Like doing that to Elizabeth, just trying to reach out to her. And I think Elizabeth is crazy, but it, like at least she was trying to be nice. But then I've come to find out that Elizabeth was just being nasty to Bronwyn too. Or at least this is where I'm at this point.
Yeah, I need to know more about this conversation because this doesn't make much sense. She says,
yeah,
you called me a liar and said I was using my children when I called to check up on. So she did call to check up on her. And that's when Elizabeth said this. Like, where did this come from?
Yeah, she did. And Elizabeth says, well, I may have made some comments about Bronwyn and her children that were probably inappropriate, undeniable, unforgettable, and hypocritical. But I also see that she's on these trips and the kids are at home alone and she's just traveling here and there and everywhere. And I was like, well, then there's that too.
But then we see a clip of 1 month earlier and they're at the lake house. So I wasn't sure if this happened before the scene with Bronwyn that was all touchy-feely or after. But Kelly's like, she needs to stay at home with her daughter. I mean, she's in Miami and then she's in Aspen. And Elizabeth is saying, yeah, I feel terrible for those kids. I mean, she put them through alcoholism and now she's putting them through abandonment.
Yeah. And Elizabeth is saying that she went through the same thing with her family and her sister. So that's why she was like triggered by watching Bronwyn sort of go all over the place while her kids are at home trying to probably pick up the pieces of what's happening.
And Bronwyn was like, well, you know what? I have boundaries. And so I took a step back from the friendship. And she tells us, I was there for you and I was glad for you. I was glad I was there for you in that moment, but I feel a little used and a little lied to. But the timeline I'm still confused by. Like, did Elizabeth say this stuff before or after? I don't know whose side to be on right now.
It sounds like they're kind of both being assholes to each other. If they just like talk like normal human beings, all this stuff would actually be very manageable.
Yeah.
Like, how can we get it, but they can't?
Yeah, well, it's when you're in it, I guess. But then in that time where Bronwyn was being really nice to Elizabeth, she didn't like Elizabeth. She was, like, working against Elizabeth that whole time. And she was just nice to her during that trauma scene, and then I think went back to not liking her again.
Yeah, and Emily, by the way, let's give some credit to Emily, who spends this entire episode just pitting people against each other, just saying, like, she said this about you, and you said this about her. She said this, because then Emily is, because Gina's like, well, you know what, Bronwyn, you dug up dirt on Elizabeth, and then Emily turns to Shannon and goes, yeah, she told Elizabeth that you were the one to get who wanted her to get the information, and Shannon's like, what,
I would never,
she does a W. Yeah, she does a W sound symphony. She's like, whoa, wah, whoa, ha,
whoa, she does that thing where she like looks left and right very urgently, like, whoa, wah, 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 wah,
just with her lips and the sound. So yeah. Funny. So Elizabeth's like, yeah, she said you planted the seed. And Bronwyn's like, yeah, Shannon's a little mafia boss. She drops little bits. Like, you know, her MO is for me to do the dirty work, so her hands are clean.
Yeah, and Shannon's like, I told her that I went on a hike with you and Gina, and you guys said everything doesn't add up. And I said, I don't know. I said, things don't add up. Things don't add up. I don't know. Maybe she doesn't own her own house. I don't know. Maybe her house is sad and depressing. I would never say that, but maybe someone said it. I would never say that.
And Bronwyn's like, well, you said, what is the rumor in town? And I said, she's nice but full of shit. And Elizabeth goes, well, maybe I seem full of shit to you, but it's my truth. It's my truth. No, not your truth. There is the truth and the truth. I hate when people say it's my truth. No. There's the truth, okay?
And then Emily just goes, I think there's a level of compulsive lying that's embedded in you, and you don't even know you're doing it. I mean, you're here, 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 and I can't even connect the dots. Well, there's a reason for that, because, you know, when I was in NASA, you know, they told us part of our programming is that, you know, the truth has to be a little tricky.
You know, as someone who spent decades in the jungle training apes to speak sign language, I really didn't have the communication skills that I needed to deal with a bunch of Newport bitches. That's Jane Goodall, ma'am. Okay.
As Ronald Reagan's former personal assistant, there are so many top-level secrets, I just had to be careful not to say too much. So sometimes that comes off as lying, but it's just selective information.
Do you think it's easy being the woman who invented Post-its? It's not. I'll tell you that.
When I created Cosmopolitan magazine, I said, this is finally a magazine for the truth.
It's like, that's Helen Gurley Brown, I think. Could be wrong.
So Callie goes, give her some slack. And Gina's like, we have a lot.
Well, listen, I'm going to therapy now, and I'm going to try to straighten my brain out so I can be more normal like all you fine ladies here.
What are we talking about? So Shannon's, Elizabeth goes, and Shannon, you look amazing. And you know what I was going to do for your birthday? You know what I was going to do when you were in Arrowhead, but you couldn't come because you got the COVID? I was going to have Vince Neil come to your birthday party.
Well, I know that we just accused you of being a compulsive liar, but this sounds like it's probably true. Wow, I can't believe it. Vince Neil, I mean, no, please, you don't have to call him. No, that's no.
Oh, I'm calling him. I'm going to call him to prove I'm not a liar to all these bitches. I'm going to call him right now. Hello? Is this Vince? Is this a new number? Did you just get this phone? This is Vince, right? He's like, who? I've had this phone for 11 years, honey.
It's like, Elizabeth. When someone says you compulsively lie all the time, you don't realize you do it. Like, don't follow that up with a blatant compulsive lie.
Yeah. And he goes, who are you looking for? That's the question. It's like, Vince Neil. And he goes, nope. That is so representative of Elizabeth overall, but you know what, honestly too, I don't even know who Vince Neil is.
So then Kelly starts talking about Bronwyn again. She's like, every time I'm supposed to be honest, but I ask Bronwyn questions, she shuts me down. Like, what's going on with your girlfriend? What's going on with your husband? Like, you won't talk about it. Does Sean still live with you?
And Emily's like, oh, I'll put it like this. What's going on with you and Sean? And Bronwyn's like, our marriage now, is it in a bad place? Yeah.
Did she just ask herself a question?
It's not yeah. It's yeah.
Yeah.
Getting sober has been really hard on our marriage, and we have had an enabling relationship, and we're codependent. And Gina's like,
he coddled her. All right, look, here's what we want to know. Are you in love with Sean?
I love him.
Are you in love with Sherry?
I love her.
Okay, well, you know what? I still don't know anything, so.
Let me try. Do you love Sherry? Yes. Do you want to be with Sean? No.
Is Vince Neil coming to my next birthday party? Probably not, but I'm still excited.
Bronwyn's like, no. This is what we have to say. Do you like Vince Neil? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So Emily's like, okay, is this girl, Sherry, is causing problems in your marriage, right? She's, well, there's big things happening, and I'm not really sure what's going on. So it's not that I'm not telling you, Kelly. There's really big shit going on in my life, and I don't have an answer. And Sean and I have talked about what was happening, and we have a commitment to work on our marriage. I mean, he's my life partner. Am I in love with him? No. He knows how I feel. Is he accepting? No. Like, okay, so you're just cheating on your husband right in front of his face. Like, what the fuck? What is happening here?
And so Emily is, and Bronwyn's like, what does Sean need? Probably not Sherry, right? And Bronwyn's like, well, I need her right now. And Emily's like, well, if you make a commitment to make things work with Sean, why aren't you telling Sherry you can't be here 24/7, right? And it's kind of funny to me because Bronwyn's like, but I need her. And Bronwyn is so mad at Sean for being codependent with her, right? Like, her whole thing is like, Sean enabled me, and I think she has a lot of built-up resentment about that, and she feels like they were very codependent and she didn't really like live her own life. But all she's doing is just being codependent with Sherry instead.
Yeah, true. And Emily's like, well, you made a commitment to working things out with Sean. Why aren't you telling Sherry? Yeah, what you said. You can't be here 24/7. And she's like, because I need her. And she goes, but don't you think that's selfish and not addressing Sean's needs? And Bronwyn goes, 100%. But I kind of need to be selfish right now. Okay, you're an asshole. That's it. I'm sorry. You wouldn't be acting like this if Sean was poor. Your ass would have been out of there by now. You're like sitting around. I think who says it later when they're like, well, she just wants to keep living her lifestyle and do whatever she – like, what were those renewal vows? Like, yes, I vowed for you to keep paying the bills. I completely agree with this. I think this is bullshit. Like, you can have whatever kind of new age relationship you want to, but your husband is obviously hurt, and you're just bringing your girlfriend around, like, 24/7 while telling him your reasoning for that is because he won't get off the phone. Like, I think, like, in things of shit you're doing wrong in a relationship – you're winning on that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about like the if like the motivations are on like this level of like, well, I'm gonna keep him around to pay for the bills. They may not be. I'm not sure, but I do think that she is in a self-professed selfish stage right now. But just because you admit that you're in a selfish stage does not mean that it makes it more pleasant for anyone else. Yeah. And it's pretty. I think that she's doing some obnoxious things now.
Yeah, she's being a dick. So Emily's like, well, every decision Bronwyn makes in life is about Bronwyn. And I guess the vow renewal bullshit was continue to pay the bills so I can live the same lifestyle. But I'm going to be with my girlfriend, which is beyond selfish. And she goes, so is there like an end point where you don't need to be with Sherry anymore? Because you said you need her right now. So does that end at some point and you go back to Sean? And she's like, well, I'm in no rush to figure that out.
Yeah. And she's like, you know, she's like, in a few months, you're not going to, like, she's like, it's not going to, in a few months, it's like, none of this is going to be easy, but it's what makes me happy. And then at this point, Gina basically shuts it down because she's like, I'm sick of, she basically is like, this woman is selfish. We're not going to make any inroads. So she just goes, well, if it makes you happy, it makes you happy, which is her way of saying, and done. We're not talking about this anymore because you're being unreasonable and you're not listening to us. And there's no point. There's no point discussing this.
So Gina and Emily get up to go pee. And Elizabeth is like, you know what? Let's talk about what the skinny bitch is over here saying. Look at Shannon, skinny bitch.
And Shannon's like,
So, Bronwyn, someone said on social media that you hate Newport Beach, and I would like to know, why is that?
And Bronwyn's like, oh, well, because of all the Trump supporters on the beach. You know, like, it's just, it's really hard living in a conservative town. And Shannon's like,
but you made that choice. You made that choice. Go! Leave, shoo! Leave! Go! Go then!
Yeah, if you don't like Newport Beach, then don't be here if you don't like the people! Why are you here?
And Kelly tells us, you can get in your van with the 8 people like the Ozarks, and you can, and you can drive out to Laguna or West Hollywood or wherever your people are.
Yeah. And Brahman's like, well, I just want to be a beacon of light for other liberals. And I'm like, I can't believe we are wedging in one last, like, poorly conducted political discussion from Orange County.
Yeah, and Kelly's like, go to
Laguna. Go to Laguna. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just like living in San Francisco with, you know, like hippies and drug users and crazy people.
And Brahman was like, I'm not moving my family just because you tell me to. It's not this black and white, Kelly.
Yes, it is. This is America. You can have different points of view. There's a whole state about people who like potatoes. Go there.
My favorite thing is when people argue that you can have a different point of view in an attempt to shut you up from what you're trying to say.
Or you can have a different point of view in a different town.
Yeah.
Like, just go to that town if you want to have that point of view. Do it over there. That's freedom.
Yeah, so Kelly is like, you can have a different point of view in America. And Bronwyn's like, well, unless they're different from yours, Kelly, you never shut the fuck up. And Shannon goes, whoa, wow, wow, wow.
This
wow.
is the season finale, so I'm going to do a whoa with jazz hands above my head. Whoa! Jazz hands.
So Elizabeth is like, well, the reason why I think everyone is off is because you post like, don't judge, love, peace, and happiness, and then you come at everyone. Like, what's going on with that? That's undeniable, unbelievable, hypocritical, indiscriminatory.
Brom was like, I'm not coming after anybody right now. Right now. And Kelly goes, why are you so intolerant?
Why are you intolerant? So Brahman's like, Kelly is questioning everything about her because she's scared. Everything about me because she's scared. And I'm standing up to her. I'm sober, I'm strong, and I'm smart. And those are 3 things that she just doesn't know how to handle. I'm like, no, she just is annoyed by you. She just can't handle being annoyed very well.
Yeah, and she's like, let me just be me, and I'll worry about my own shit. And Shannon's like, can I change the subject? I'm wearing tape! I am wearing tape! And so she starts rolling on the ground trying to make it, like, wacky time again.
And then there's this, like, awkward procession of husbands who come filtering into the scene, starting with Sean, who is just like, he's like, hi, ladies, as, you know, totally oblivious to the fact that they just had this entire conversation where Bronwyn's talking about how, like, basically nothing's working and she's being selfish right now and she needs Sherry more than Sean. And then we have John Jansen, who's coming in oblivious to the fact that they're all talking about him having a drinking problem. And they're all just, like, just wafting in slowly. It's so bizarre.
Yeah, and I can't believe Shannon didn't go after Bronwyn about spreading that rumor about John and the golf.
I was surprised, actually, yeah.
Wondering if that's true. Because it's weird that she wouldn't come up with that.
Yeah. And then Shane comes. It reminded me like the end of Big Business, you know, when they're like all walking through the lobby of the plaza and each one of the ladies has like a man who's there for them. Like, hey, what's going on? Like, we should be playing some Steve Winwood, Higher Love right now.
Yeah. So Shane comes in and starts cracking jokes. He's like, wow, I don't want to hug anybody. I haven't seen your results. I'll risk it for Kelly, though.
Yeah, because you want in on this. Yeah.
and then there's like Emily falls over in the Instagram chair and they're just like, it's just like, now it's like fun times. It's like sisterhood. Everyone's happy. And then we hear the music that plays at the end of every OC season, which is like my favorite music. It's like that melancholy, sort of happy because it's over, but sort of sad because we know like these people have tragic lives. And it's like, something like that. And that means that like, we're going to get our big end of season wrap up, you know?
Yeah.
So we have you know, cheers to Bronwyn for being 6 months sober. And Bronwyn is like, I'm sorry. I think Gina, she's like, you know, I feel truly lucky to be where I am. And like, honestly, my 2020 is still better than my 2019.
Emily still lives in a tiny house and has taught her children how to use a Swiffer sweeper.
Bronwyn is saying,
Bronwyn's redefining her marriage and saying,
She's like, Bronwyn is an amazing mom, a good friend, and a big old lesbian. I like women, and it's beautiful. This is the real me, and I'm going back to college.
And then Emily is... Elizabeth is now being honest.
We hope so.
And Elizabeth is like, I've always been honest. You just don't understand me. Elizabeth has ended the season as the head of the Basketball Association of America, where she goes town to town, finding talented basketball players to play for universities.
Jimmy and I are having so much sex right now. We get hot and sweaty, and then it turns out that the people from Pfizer brought my sweat back to the labs, and guess what? It cured coronavirus.
And, you know, Shannon went through COVID, and
we went through that together, so that meant a lot to me. You know, I'm excited about a new friendship with Shannon.
And Shannon's like, I'm just excited to be happy. I have three amazing daughters, a boyfriend who's committed, and now a new Rib Wednesday, which should work out.
I mean, if we can get through rough patches, we can get through anything. It's a gift, and I'm lucky to have that. I would say it's as important as my senior prom. Oh, I'm so sorry, Sophie. I'm so sorry.
And Kelly, you finally found someone who puts up with you and gets you, and that's not easy to do.
Yeah, 2020's been an awful year, and I feel horrible. For you guys suckers, it was awesome for me. I look forward to Rick's dick.
Yeah, we're gonna just bone all day long. Boning and boning.
And it's like, Kelly is taking photos with Rick, and Rick is saying, oh,
yeah.
None of the Trumps showed up to her beach wedding.
And Emily, I've got a new hip, and I've learned that family is important and relationships are important. And then Shane goes, and forget the fact that I didn't die. One last
King of Snarkism. Season wrap up.
And that's it. We're out of here with a cheers to 2021.
Well, we got the reunions up next. We'll see how those go. So they made it through that season. That was a weird ass season thanks to coronavirus.
Yeah, it's a weird season, but, you know, glad they showed up and did it. They're essential workers, basically. they were showing up to work when only essential workers were supposed to be going. And, you know, to people like us, they are essential workers. So thank you, guys.
Yeah. And I'm glad that Bravo kept it to an appropriate episode length. It was like, if it had gone on any longer, it would have been really hard. But we ended it just where it needed to be ended. And now we got our reunions, and then that's that.
Yep. Well, we sure love you, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us this season. And go get your tickets for the 2021 Crappy Awards, January 21st, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Get them at watchwhatcrappens.com. And don't forget to vote.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you on the next episode.
Love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's a little bit loony.
Junie,
she's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Higher than high res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan lettuce.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
The Bay Area Betches,
Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy, cease and desisto. Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa. It's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We will, Joanna Rockland you.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters. Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell. Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel. Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture.